Eyes went dead, and its entire length began to quiver.
I would have used the Uzi.
The villagers began preparations for the butchering. After untangling the net, several of the strongest men pried open its jaws, propping them wide apart with an ironwood stake sharpened at both ends. One of the men crawled inside the yawning mouth. Using the tip of his knife, he cut the lining of the throat away from the surrounding bone and muscle, and then disappeared into the dark cavity of its body. After a few minutes passed, he stepped out of the mouth, covered in blood, and pulling the free end of the throat lining behind him. The other villagers joined in, and they began dragging the guts out of the catfish, 5 feet at a time.
Lovely.
As they gave the empty, pale gray tube of muscle the heave-ho, it contracted down to the size of a man's arm. On the third pull, the tube caught on the far side of the stake. Redoubling their efforts, the villagers managed to free it. The cause of the hang-up popped out onto the mud. Inside the opaque gut lining was a blue-dark bulge easily as long as a man.
Is that a person?
One moment, everybody.
The leader hacked through the gut tube in a single swipe of his sword. Covered in slime, a hairless, earless, mottled blue head peeped out. Its gaping jaws were lined with rows of needle-like teeth. Its beady eyes had been turned the color of milk by the fish's corrosive digestive juices.
New to eel. Biggin.
The eel, sensing freedom, shot out of the fish's gut, frantically sidewinding for the defenseless women and children clustered on the bank. They could have scattered to safety, but they didn't. They stood there, waiting.
These people are fucking insane.
Oh, God damn it!
Whether the eel intended them harm or just wanted back in the river, Christy reacted at once. Stepping between the onrushing animal and the innocents, she raised her Model 640 Smith & Wesson. A 38 caliber slug hit the eel square in the head, knocking it down but not out. It writhed in the mud. Christy gingerly pinned the thick neck to the ground with her boot heel, leaving the tail end free to slap and churn. Kneeling, she held the muzzle against the side of its head.
There's been enough trouble today, don't you think?
The coup de grace cratered the eel's skull and sent a plume of blood, brains, and bone fragments splashing into the river. As Christy straightened, the women and children encircled her, stroking the arms and hem of her fur coat.
It's okay. Really, it's okay.
When things finally settled down, Ryan and the others retired to the shade of the forest's edge to watch the rest of the butchering. The village men skinned back the hide at the tail and started hacking out great, foot-thick slabs of pale pink flesh. These were passed to the women, who skewered them on ironwood sticks and began char-roasting them over the open fires. The sweet aroma of blackened catfish set the companions' empty bellies to gurgling. After a few minutes, the headman walked over to where the companion sat. He carried an uncapped antifreeze jug, which he handed to Ryan. The one-eyed man sniffed the spout.
Whew. That's powerful stuff.
It's brewed from the fruit of the strangler vine. Drink and enjoy yourselves. After she's been served, the feast will begin.
Who's she?
Cyrena. She told us of your coming, of the great fish, of Chambo's death on its spine, and the eel alive in its gut. Cyrena sees all and knows all.
A doomy.
None of the others said a word. Ryan knew they were all thinking the same thing.
Bullshit.
Though doomies actually existed in Deathlands, the genuine article was as rare as a 13-year-old virgin. Real doomies were a unique race of humans, probably mutated. Each individual was gifted to a varying degree with the second sight, the ability to see past and future events. Usually, however, the folks claiming to have the doomy gift turned out to be con artists or cold-heart chillers. The companions watched as a floppy-breasted young woman carried a smoking hunk of fish past them on a carved bone platter. Escorted by the village leader, she disappeared into a hut at the end of the line. Doc took the antifreeze jug from Ryan and tried a long swallow.
By the three Kennedys, a ferment drawn straight from Satan's abattoir.
His what?
JB took the jug from Doc.
Go easy.
Right, Ryan. Fucking A! Good shit! Here you go, Christy.
Christy, who whiffed it, made a face and passed it on to Jack without tasting. In contrast to their restraint, the male villagers hit their blue jugs hard, and the effects were immediate. Joined by their headman, they started singing, waving their arms, and stamping their feet in the mud. Their tuneless song was as repetitive as it was grating, and they directed it and the accompanying rhythmic gyrations toward their guests.
Our powerful and manly seed will live forever.
Now there's a comforting thought.
At that point, another woman stepped forward and laid down a heaping platter of cooked fish before them. The companions used their bare hands to tear into the char-crusted and still scorching hot meat.
Tastes like free-range snake.
JB extracted a thin, fibrous strand from between his teeth.
Hell of a lot more parasites, though.
The village men suddenly stopped caterwauling. They took seats in the shade across from the companions and started to eat. The women and children sat behind them. Partway through the feast, one of the men gave the leader a nudge, indicating the young woman waving at him from the doorway of the far hut. The headman, who'd washed down the fish course with numerous gulps of strangler wine, rose unsteadily to his feet.
Cyrena has been fed, strangers. You will pay your respects to her now.
It'd be our pleasure.
The leader ushered them into the tiny hut that was occupied by a withered old woman. She sat in an inverted catfish skull, a rocking chair hollowed out and packed with an excelsior of dried vine fibers. Over her skinny shoulders, she wore a fishskin cape with a tall, spiky fishbone collar. In her hand, she held a long bone pipe, which gave off the pungent smell of marijuana. Even in the dim light filtering through the translucent yellow walls and the haze of smoke, Ryan could see that Cyrena's pupils and irises were the color of milk, like the eels.
Was she swallowed by a fish, or was she born blind?
If you've got a question, young man, best ask me direct.
Okay. You get eaten by a fish or what?
Eaten and spat right back on the bank. See these beauty marks it gave me?
Skeletal fingers traced down both sides of her face, pointing out the stripes of pink-white discoloration where the flesh had been etched away. Her scalp had hairless patches of the same color.
Right off, folks around here took my coming out of that fish alive as a sign and a wonderment. It was a bigger wonderment than anyone dreamed. Inside that fish's belly, I lost normal sight, but I gained the doomy sight. Or maybe I had it all along and never knew until my eyes got melted away.
The blind woman sniffed at the air like a rabbit, homing in on the exact location of Ryan's son.
I've had visions about you, young man. You and your six fine friends. Come sit here, and I'll tell you about them.
She spread her thin legs and patted her sagging lap.
Not bastard likely.
If you've got something to say to us, let's hear it.
There's doubt in your voice. Looking for proof, are we? Well, how about I tell you something you already know? Your names? Your mother's names? Their mother's names?
Madam, if you could, as you suggest, pronounce the names of all our maternal grandmothers, it would certainly be evidence in your favor. I dare say I would be close to proclaiming you the next Mesmer.
Nah, the backside's too easy, and it proves nothing. There are other ways I could have found them out. I didn't, but that's beside the point. It's the foresight, the telling of what's to come. That's the real test of doomy power. How about this for proof? There's a new kind of human being prowling the Deathlands. Not mutie spawned, not woman, nor made of woman. Not man, but made from man. These folks come from elsewhere.
You mean elsewhere?
No, Master Carter. I mean what I said, lad. Elsewhere. Another stretch of time, in another place altogether. our time and place and this other one started out identically, as alike as a pair of fish eggs. But ooh, how different they grew. Nightmare different.